Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devam Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatharine Namo Mahabhadanyaya Krishna Prema Pratayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gaurakrishe Namaha. We have come to Vidyanagar. Many things could be spoken about this place in relation to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lila in this world. We are sitting in a place of great significance. The great Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had his institution and home here. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was the greatest scholar in all of Navadvipa. And Navadvipa was the high seat of learning in India. It has been explained that Navadvipa had the scriptures and the professors who mastered all the systems of philosophy except Nyaya. That was the one shortcoming of Navadvipa. There was only one place in the entire planet that could teach the subject with authority, and that is Mithila. Mithila is the place where long ago Sita Devi appeared, and Sri Ramchandra broke the mighty bow of Shankara and accepted Sita as his beloved wife. In Mithila, they were so proud and so protective. They were the only ones that had the scripture for Nyaya philosophy. Therefore, nobody else could teach it without the scripture. And they painstakingly protected so nobody could copy that scripture. The great Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya went there to learn. He was an avatar, or let us say an incarnation of Brihaspati, who is the spiritual teacher of the demigods. Just by hearing the scripture, he meticulously memorized every word, came back to Navadvipa and wrote it all down perfectly. Thus he gave great glory to Navadvipa Dham. He established Navadvipa as the unparalleled high seat of learning for the world. And many of his students, to this day in Bengal, are famous for their writings. King Prataparudra took note of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. This is the place he lived, and this is the place he taught. He was the son of Visharada. And his brother, Vidya Vachaspati, was also a very, very great scholar, like him. King Prataparudra invited him to be the royal pundit of his entire kingdom, and built an institution for him in Jagannath Puri. When Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya left Navadvipa, it was a great loss in one sense, but his students were the topmost scholars of the world after him. So it wasn't so much of a loss. Later on, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he began his studies as Nimai Pandit, also did his studies here. In fact, it is said that he put some pencils in the ground and they grew into trees, and those trees are still around. It was in this area that Nimai was challenging and debating the students and disciples of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And not a single one of them could answer his questions. It was formidable in debate. There's one beautiful story. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had a disciple, or a student, whose name was Raghunath. In those days, there was so much ego and prestige and scholarship. Just like today in India, if you're a movie star, you know, a cinema star, or a cricket star, then you're very popular amongst the people. But in those days, this was considered very low class sudra activities. There was no decency in being an athlete or a movie star. It was just something that, you know, low class people do to entertain the actual distinguished people. Yes? That's the way it used to be. But Kali Yuga progressed. And now they're the pundits. They're the ones that ceremonially cut the ribbons to make things auspicious. People will go to big stadiums to see some man dance around like an animal. But in those days, the real persons who had prestige and who had all the respect and honor of the people were the scholars, the people who mastered the various subjects of learning. And there was so much competition. Those were the real tournaments, not beating balls with sticks, but the real tournaments were debate on the basis of shastra and logic and argument. So there was a lot of ego in this. And Navadvip was the capital of the world for such logical arguments and debates. And in the material sense, philosophers are always trying to create something new that defeats everyone else. Yes? So Raghunath, he wrote a book, and he understood that he's going to be world famous by this book, because there was no other person who ever wrote a book of this caliber, particular subject. He spent a long time working to create this book. This is where he wrote it, right here at Vidyanagar. He was a student of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So one day he was on a boat with Nimai crossing Ganga. And Nimai told Raghunath that he had written a book and happened to be on the same subject. And Nimai read what he had wrote, and Raghunath he was crushed. He was extremely depressed. And Nimai said, "I thought you would take pleasure in hearing what I have written. Why do you look depressed?" He said, "I wrote a book on the same subject, and I was thinking I would be world famous, but yours is 1,000 times better than mine." Nimai took his book and threw it in the Ganga. He said, "Let your book be known to the world." Why did Nimai do this? We can understand from several points of view. One is, he was not concerned with materialistic name and fame. It is all just like useless pieces of straw floating in the waves of time. Honor, dishonor. How long does it last? Second, he showed his consideration toward others. He would rather have somebody else get credit than himself. He was so concerned with the heart of this other person. And besides the Shikshastakam, as far as we know, that's the only other thing he ever wrote. And he threw it in the Ganga because he didn't want to hurt the heart of this person. He wanted him to have the glory. So yes, it was here that Nimai Pandit, countless debates, and how he would debate. He would come forward and say, I'm going to speak something, I want to see if any of you can defeat it. And he would establish his thesis. And everybody's, all the great students of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and other great scholars, they said, nobody could defeat that. It's completely based on scripture, logic. It's perfect. Oh, that's what you say? Then Nimai would systematically tear to pieces everything he established. Now, could anyone defeat this? They said, nobody can defeat that. It's impeccable. Then Nimai would defeat that. Can anyone question this? Greatest scholars in the entire world were baffled. They said, no, it's impossible. Then he would reestablish the first thesis he presented and defeat all others. And all the students just had to bow their head and take the dust from his feet. Krishna has all six opulences. One of them is knowledge. As Nimai Pandit, he revealed the supreme opulence of knowledge here in Navadvip Dham. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya left because he was teaching the Mayavad philosophy. And the Lord wanted him out before Nimai Pandit came in. So this is a very, very special and holy place. It is one of the most important places that devotees come to worship Nimai Pandit during his scholarly leela. Of course, we know after he went to Gaya, he completely rejected his scholarly pastimes. He tied up his books and said, I could no longer teach any of these subjects. To me, every letter of every syllable of every word of every sentence is only meant to glorify that beautiful son of Nanda Maharaj, who has a peacock feather in his hair and plays upon his celebrated flute, who dances with the gopas and the gopis in the groves of Vrindavan. That is my only meditation. Wherever I look, I only see Shyam Sundar. The only sound I hear is the names of Krishna. So I can no longer teach you these subjects. I give you blessings. You can go to any other teacher you like. And he tied up his book. He had thousands of students. All the students tied up their books and said, after having a teacher like you, how could we ever accept anyone else? All you talk about is Krishna. Please tell us. Tell us, who is this Krishna and how we could know Krishna? Then the Lord taught him how to clap their hands and chant the holy name. Krishna, 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 Krishna.
something like that.
That was the first congregational chanting of the holy name that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu presented in the Nalandat Navadvip with his own students. So the Lord performed his Kirtan Leela. At the age of 24, in order to reach people who were envious, blasphemous, egoistic, just totally preoccupied with materialistic life, he took sannyas. That is a wonderful story. After he left Navadvip to take sannyas, Navadvip was practically paralyzed. Even the blasphemers, even the people who were always criticizing and felt threatened by him, even their hearts broke that they would never see him again, that his beautiful long hair, which is the essence of all beautiful things, was cut. Nimai has left Vishnu, Priya, and Sachi and has gone to Puri to be a sannyasi. The whole of Navadvip, Narahari Sarakar wrote a beautiful poem that when Nimai left to take sannyas in Navadvip, the Ganga stopped flowing. The cows stopped eating grass. The calves could no longer take milk from their mothers. The bees just sat stunned on the flowers, didn't even try to drink the nectar or eat the pollen. The birds just stood in the trees crying. They couldn't even sing. What to speak of the human beings? Navadvip was cast into the darkness of separation. And even those who were very, very critical, very materialistic, even the worshippers of the demigoddesses, and the snake goddess, and the atheists, they realized what offenses they had made to Nimai. While the Lord was living in Puri, after his South Indian tour, he told his devotees he was going to go to Vrindavan. This was his first attempt. You know that story. He told Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, I'm going to Vrindavan. And King Prataparudra says, please stop him, by any means stop him. But he's the supreme independent Lord. How can we stop him? He said, no, somehow or other, delay him. So they told Lord Chaitanya that you are wanting to go now, but Ratiyach is coming up very soon. You should wait till after Ratiyach. After Ratiyach, now I will go? No, you should go after Janmashtami. Actually, it's Chaturmasi, you shouldn't travel, you should wait till after Kartik. After Kartik, they kept delaying. Dola Yatra's coming up. After Dola Yatra, Rati Yatra's coming up. This way for a couple years. And the Lord so much wanted to teach the world that nothing is auspicious without the blessings of Vaishnava. He would not leave until he received the heartfelt blessings of the devotees. But ultimately, they saw that he was very unhappy. He was longing to go to Vrindavan. So they said, yes, you go, but we're all coming with you. Hare Krishna. So the Lord began his journey. King Prataparudra made beautiful boats, royal boats, to carry him across every river of his kingdom. And there were thousands and thousands of people following. And wherever he was dancing and chanting, everyone was dancing and chanting. Wherever he placed his foot, thousands of people would take the dust. So there was holes in the roads. Something like Bombay. But not like that. This is the holes in the road. But this is very sacred. Devotees were just so eager to get his mercy in every possible way. He wanted to come to Navadvip to see the river Ganga. Somehow or other he left his devotees and he came here. This is the place he came, to Vidyanagar, to the house of Vidyavachaspati, the brother of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who is a great devotee. He secretly approached Vidyavachaspati and said, "I'm on my way to Mathura, but I want to spend a few days taking my bath in Mother Ganga. Please keep it a complete secret that I am here." Vachaspati was so happy. He said, "Yes, yes, I will keep it a secret. Nobody will find out that you are here. Today all generations of my family have been delivered. Today all my wealth, my home, everything has become auspicious because the dust of your feet has touched my home." "We will serve you, and nobody will know that you are here." "But for how long can the song be hidden?" The word spread throughout Navadvip that Nimai had returned. Now he was Sri Krishna Chaitanya, and he was at the house of Vidyavachaspati in Vidyanagar. Joy! The joy of Vaikuntha literally descended on all of Navadvip. People were weeping, people were crying. Their only aspiration in life was to come to this place that we're sitting today. They were just running. People were leaving their homes. They were so excited, they forgot that they had wives, they forgot that they had husbands, fathers, mothers, sisters, daughters, brothers. The only thing in their minds was Nimai has returned. The roads became so crowded with literally hundreds and thousands of people that it was impassable. So people just started running through the jungles. People were running as fast as they can right through dense, thick thorn bushes. And nobody even knew. They had such eagerness to see Nimai. Soon there were millions of people running, running, running. They were so happy. They were embracing one another. They were touching each other's feet. Just the thought of seeing Nimai united everyone's hearts. And they were speaking, "When I see him, when I gaze upon that beautiful golden form again with my eyes, I will beg him for the benediction that I will never, ever, ever forget him. I will beg him for the benediction that all the bondage of my karma will be removed simply by his glance." In this way, they practically leveled the forests. Then they came to the river Ganga. And there were some fairies. There was big fairies, small fairies, boats like what we went on today. But there was a problem. Everyone was so eager that within a matter of seconds, thousands of people were on each boat. And every single boat just collapsed, fell apart. Even the biggest boats just fell apart. So now there was no boat to take them across the fast, wide current of the Ganga. But the people were so enthusiastic that some of them just grabbed clay pots and put it to their chest and floated across the Ganga. Other people uprooted banana trees and used the trunk of the tree as a boat to get across. There were millions of people, millions of people, and other people were swimming across. They forgot. They were so excited with so much anticipation that these people swam across the whole Ganga and they never even took time to think that they didn't know how to swim. That was a detail that was just overlooked. The whole Ganga was just filled with millions and millions of heads. When they reached the other shore, they were running. The only sound on everyone's mouth was Hari, Hari!
Hari, Hari!
In all directions, all that could be heard was Hari, Hari!
Hari, Hari!
In the anticipation to meet Lord Gauranga, the holy names were just springing from everyone's hearts. They came to Vidyavachaspati's house. Thousands of people came to him and they were all grabbing his feet, saying, "We have heard that the great Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come. Please, let us see him. Let us see him." He was supposed to be keeping it secret. Vidyavachaspati went into the house, and the people they knew how to attract the Lord's heart with such incredibly loud voices. All these millions of people were just inundating the entire atmosphere with the chanting of the holy name. They were chanting with such love and devotion. They were just crying their hearts out because they knew that was the only way they can attract the Lord to appear. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was conquered by the good fortune of all these souls who were chanting offenselessly from the very core of their hearts the holy names. That resplendent golden form of Mahaprabhu appeared before all of their eyes. There was no space anywhere. Everyone wanted to see the Lord. There was such enthusiasm. Thousands of people at one time were climbing one tree. And not a single branch of a tree broke by the will of the Lord. Thousands and thousands of people jumped on one rooftop. And not a single house collapsed. Even thatched huts. The Lord was reciprocating through his divine energies to facilitate his devotees' devotional service. And everyone was chanting the holy names. Lord Chaitanya, upon seeing them, he raised his arms very high. And he said, "My brothers and sisters, I give you this message. Always remember Krishna. Chant the holy names of Krishna. Tell other people about Krishna. Worship Krishna. Know that Krishna is your real wealth. Krishna is your very life. Krishna is your breath. Everyone. Nothing else in life has any eternal meaning. Always remember Krishna by chanting his holy name."
Krishna, 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 Krishna.
Lord Chaitanya smiled upon all of them. And all these millions of people simultaneously began offering their dandavat obeisances. And they were praying for all benedictions, that, "My Lord, you have descended from this world only to deliver sinners like us. Please remove the material desires and attachments from my heart and give me your pure love. May my heart and soul always rest at your lotus feet." These were the people, many of them who were blasphemers, sinners, or people who were just indifferent to the Lord. Yes, Nimai Pandit's taking sannyas did serve the purpose it was meant to achieve. In the separation from him, people's hearts were transformed. In the tumult of this chanting of the holy names, millions and millions chanted, filled all the worlds. Nimai Pandit, without saying anything to anyone, slipped away. He disappeared. Everyone thought he went into Vidyavachaspati's house, but he didn't. Vidyavachaspati was wondering, "Where has my Lord gone? He searched through his house, he searched everywhere. He was nowhere to be seen." The kirtan was getting louder and louder. They were thinking, if we chant loud enough, with enough feeling, then the Lord will come again. They chanted and they chanted and they chanted, but the Lord didn't come. So some of the people were holding Vidyavachaspati's feet. They said, "I'm all alone. Nobody else will know. Take me in your house to meet the Lord. I know he's there." He said, "No, he's not there." He said, "I know he's there." And somebody else would come, "You remember the favor I did you? You owe me. Bring me in your house. I want to meet the Lord." Somebody else would say, "I will be eternally indebted to you. Please, please, please bring me in." But Vidyavachaspati was overwhelmed. "Just, I don't know where he is. He's not in my house." And soon all those millions of people became very angry and harsh. They were chastising Vidyavachaspati. "You're supposed to be a saintly person. You're supposed to be a Brahmin. A Brahmin is concerned with the welfare of others. You are just keeping the Lord in your house for your own salvation. You don't care anything if we all go to hell, as long as you get liberated." Even an ordinary, decent person, if he has thousands of sweets, he distributes them. He doesn't eat them all himself. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the sweetest of all sweet things. He's in your house. You're keeping him for yourself only. You're not distributing to others. What kind of Brahmin are you? You are cruel-hearted. You have no mercy whatsoever. Poor Vidyavachaspati. He was suffering on two sides. On one side, he was suffering more than any of them in intense separation from Lord Chaitanya, not knowing where he was. And on the other side, millions of people are cursing him, chastising him, and spreading all kinds of false rumors against him. He said, "He's not here, he's not here." And people said, "You are a liar. You're not a Brahmin. Brahmins tell the truth. Be honest, you are a liar." It's not easy being in the Hare Krishna movement. His heart was broken. Then somebody came and whispered in his ear that Gauranga Mahaprabhu has gone to Kuliya Nagar. He became very happy. He said to everybody in a loud voice, "Lord Gauranga is in Kuliya. Let us all go together to see him." So all these people started going Kuliya. They all had to cross Ganga again. By this time, there were several times more people than were going to Vidyanagar. They all left this place. Vrindavan Das Thakur exclaims that even Ananta Shesha, with his thousands of mouths, could not calculate how many people were there. And somehow or other, they just jumped on boats by the thousands, and somehow the boats were going, and then they'd start to sink. Right in the middle of the Ganga, sink, 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 and right when they were about to sink, it hit dry land. And everyone just jumped out and swam, although nobody knew how to swim. Now, a single person in this entire mass crowd was injured, hurt, or died. Gives us some hope, doesn't it? Some of you are complaining, yatra with so many people, 1,400 people. Why so much inconvenience? People are bumping. This is the test. These people were so enthusiastic to serve the Lord that there were millions and millions. They came to Kuliya Nagara somehow or other. And when they arrived, they had no idea where the Lord was. And Vidyavachaspati, his word, his life was at stake, actually. If he didn't find the Lord there, nobody knows what would have happened. So he was frantically just searching everywhere, just trying to get some leads. And then he heard that the Lord was at Madhava Das's house in Kuliya Nagara. And he alone found Lord Gauranga. And he fell at Lord Gauranga's feet. "You are all merciful. You are my life and my soul. You have come to promote the Harinam Sankirtan movement and spread love of God through all the universe. You are all merciful. Please, Lord, be merciful to me. All these people, they think I'm a liar. They think I'm hiding you. They think I'm cruel. Unless you appear before them, I'm finished. Please, even for a moment, show yourself before them." Meanwhile, the people, they couldn't find him anywhere. And Vidyavachaspati wasn't even around. But they knew what pleased the Lord: the sincere chanting of the holy name. Here, the devotees chanting. At this time, everyone was a devotee. That he came out of Madhava Das's house. When he appeared before them, obeisances, prayers, and kirtan, the Lord raised his arms to induce everyone to dance. Please picture this within your heart. There were thousands and thousands of kirtan groups. All the towns, villages, agricultural fields were just covered for miles and miles and miles and miles with nothing but people. Thousands of kirtan singers, thousands of kirtan groups, all performing kirtan for the pleasure of the Lord. And the Lord was standing in such a way that everyone could see him. Everyone's eyes were fixed in gazing at his beautiful form, tears flowing from their eyes in ecstatic love, dancing. To see this incredible sight, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lost all external consciousness. He entered into a deep mood of ecstasy. Tears poured from his eyes. His hair stood on end like the Kadamba flower. His limbs were trembling upon seeing such large groups of people chanting his holy names. He became so excited, he jumped down and started dancing and chanting in mad ecstasy in the various kirtan groups. Everyone's heart was thinking, the Lord is only mine. The Lord was reciprocating in everyone's heart in such an intimate way. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned to Navadvip town. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives a very wonderful analogy in his deep realizations of Gaur Lila. He has described this, that the devotees who were with the Lord in Srivasangam, when the Lord came to Vidyanagar and Kuligram, and they saw him, they experienced what the gopis felt when they met Krishna in Kurukshetra. When the Braj gopis came before Dwarkadish in the land of Kurukshetra, they were simultaneously so happy to see him, because it had been such a long, long time since they had. But at the same time, their hearts were broken. And they were praying, my Lord, we do not like to see you with a majestic crown. We want to see you with wild flowers and your beautiful hair, which is bedecked with a peacock feather. We do not like to see these royal ornaments. We long to see you again with the gunja mala and the garland of wild forest flowers of Vrindavan. Here in Kurukshetra, there is the sound of rattling chariots and horses and gigantic elephants. But in Vrindavan, there is the chirping of the birds and the cooing of the peacock. Here in Kurukshetra, you are in this royal field of sacrifice, but we long to bring you back to Vrindavan, to the beautiful banks of the river Jamuna under the Kadamba tree. Here in Kurukshetra, you are surrounded by royal ministers and kings and so many lavishly ornamented queens. But in Vrindavan, you are surrounded by your cows and your playmates, the gopas. We don't find even one millionth of a fraction of the pleasure seeing you here as we do in Vrindavan. Please come back to Vrindavan. Nanda and Yashoda, your mother and father, do you want to kill them? Please come back to Vrindavan and save our lives. You have told us to meditate upon you within our heart. But we are not mystic yogis. We are gopis. We want to make garlands for you. We want to cook for you. We want to dance with you. We want to serve you. Please return to Vrindavan. And it was these prayers that were the basis of Rath Yatra, where the Brajvasis brought Krishna Balaram and Subhadra Devi from Kurukshetra to Vrindavan within their hearts. Similarly, when the devotees of Navadvip saw Lord Chaitanya, they were experiencing this meeting and separation simultaneously. They were so happy to see Lord Chaitanya. But they wanted to see, now you have the shaved head of a renunciate. We long to see you again with your beautiful, beautiful black hair scattering upon your broad shoulders, decorated with malati flowers. Now you have the drab dress of a saffron sannyasi. We long to see you again with that beautiful, resplendent yellow dhoti folded in three places in the Yogapata style with beautiful embroidery and ornaments. We long to bring you back. They actually had a Rath Yatra in their hearts of bringing him from Vidyanagar to Srivasangam. The devotees of Navadvip had that Rath Yatra of bringing the Lord back to Srivasangam, where he was theirs, to embrace him, to dance with him, and to chant in Sankirtan. Those who were sinful and blasphemous, their hearts were changed. One by one, these people came before Lord Chaitanya, and each one of them was forgiven and given pure bhakti. One Brahmin came and said, I never understood who you were when you were in Navadvip, and I always criticized and I blasphemed your devotees. I was thinking, in Kali Yuga, no one can be a real Vaishnava. These people are simply pretenders, screaming and dancing, nonsense people. I was one of those blasphemers. But now I realize, after you took sannyas, how exalted you are and how exalted they are. What can I do to atone for this offense? The Lord gave an instruction. Criticizing a Vaishnav is like drinking poison with your mouth. It will destroy your heart. However, the only antidote for poison is nectar. With that same mouth that you criticize Vaishnavas, never criticize again. And drink the nectar of chanting the names of the Lord, chanting the name, the glories of the Lord, and chanting the praises of the Vaishnavas. Praising the Vaishnavas is the nectar of immortality. Then Devananda Pandit approached. Devananda Pandit had offended Srivas Thakur, and Lord Chaitanya previously exhibited very serious anger and chastisement against him. But Fakreshwar Pandit happened to come to the neighborhood of Devananda Pandit, which is in Kulia, the Navadvip town of today. And he was so impressed by his devotion that he invited Vakreshwar Pandit to stay in his ashram. He actually fell in love with the devotional characteristics of this great devotee. And gradually, he became Vakreshwar Pandit's servant. When Vakreshwar Pandit would perform kirtan, he would keep the crowds away with a stick. And when Vakreshwar Pandit was about to faint in ecstasy, he would catch him and very gently take the dust of his body and put it on his head. Lord Chaitanya exclaimed that Vakreshwar Pandit is the very embodiment of love. Wherever he dances, Krishna is present. Wherever he sings, Krishna is present. Because you have served Vakreshwar Pandit, you can come to me. I forgive you. Devananda Pandit, his heart was filled with love. I'm a commentator of Bhagavatam. Please tell me how I should speak Bhagavatam. I'm an ignorant soul. And the Lord gave him detailed instructions of how you must explain Bhagavatam only in terms of pure devotional service. After giving Krishna Prema to Devananda Pandit, Gopal Chapala came, who was suffering miserable leprosy. And the Lord cured him and gave him Krishna Prema. Kuliya Nagar is the place where the Lord forgave all offenses to those who repented and gave them all Krishna Nam and Krishna Prema. So we are very fortunate to be here in this eternal place of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, Vidya Nagar. Thank you very much. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki. Let us pray that we can sincerely develop real faith and conviction that the essence of all knowledge, the essence of life, is loving devotional service to Krishna and his devotees, and to be an instrument of that compassion to all living beings. Do you want to speak something more? What's that? Maharaj has captured the essence of Lord Chaitanya's teachings perfectly. I will give you a practical example. He has such a sweet taste for chanting the holy names. He's always eager to serve the Vaishnavas. And just now his compassionate nature has been wonderfully exhibited. I asked him if he would like to speak, and he said, everyone is hungry for prasad. So let us honor the order of Srila Bhakti Chari Swami, who is so mercifully going to feed us prasad today for his kind wishes. Srila Prabhupada ki.